Hello, DUMC, those who are here at Dream Center and those also online. Glad to be with you all, even this today at celebration. Can I ask us all to stand as we read scripture today? Shall we rise? We'll be reading three passages of scripture: John 3:16, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8, and Matthew 2, verse 11. On the count of three, shall we begin? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The next scripture: in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. The last one: on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Please be seated. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. So if Pastor Chris shared this now, my name is Gilbert. I am a zone pastor of a zone called PJ North 6. And I also work with volunteers in the worship ministry, the audiovisual ministry as well, and the creative arts ministry. And right now, there is a need for volunteers in these three ministries. So if you have a gift or a passion in playing an instrument, in fiddling with audio and sound equipment, do sign up at dumc.my/serve, and we will get back to you ASAP, right? Well, if you can flash a photo of me and my wife. So in November 25th, both of us celebrated our 21 years of anniversary. And thank you. The unfortunate thing is I celebrated with her online, because I'm in Malaysia and she's in Japan. Now, her name is Yukiko. And during her time in Malaysia for the last 21 years, whenever she introduces herself to new people, they will ask her, "Are you Japanese?" Because her name is Yuki or Yukiko. And she will say, "I am very pure Japanese," as a reply. Or, "I am 100% Japanese." And she says it in a Malaysian accent. And this shows that she's adapted so well in Malaysia. And if you're watching Yuki Chang, yes, you've adapted very well in Malaysia. And her favorite food is bak kut teh, and nasi lemak, and a lot more as well. So she's really adjusted well in Malaysia. And I do miss her, and I hope to see her soon, yeah? So church, we are now in the Advent series of Joy to the World. We started the series with Pastor Terry sharing on hope. And he talked about where or whom certain hope is found in. And the following week, Pastor Adrian James Chong shared about the shepherd. And the joy can only be found in the shepherd. And last week, Pastor Benny talked about peace. And we have a peace that lasts because this peace is found in Jesus Christ. And today we will look at the word love. The last sermon series, last sermon of the sermon series called Love, from the song Joy to the World. Now, in verse 3 of Joy to the World, it says, "He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations proof the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love and wonders of his love." Now, during the Christmas season, one of the more common traditions that we all are very familiar with is the giving and receiving of gifts, especially from loved ones who are very dear to us or friends whom we cherish dearly. And we give this gift or receive this gift with no strings attached. We give this very freely. There's a friend that I know who makes a list every year for Christmas. He will list down the names of the people he wants to give Christmas gift. So in his list, he will have his family, his spouse, his children, and other friends who considered very dear to him. And then the next thing he would do is he would think, now what gifts goes well with each name? He will personalize the gift. And then next, he will go to the mall and he will look for that gift that he has identified for every list, every name listed in the list. So I asked him one day, why don't you buy a generic gift for everybody? Well, a generic gift can be valuable as well, can be costly as well. And this gift to all of them, instead of spending all your time and effort searching for the right gift. And then he told me this. I said, these people are special to me. These people are people that I love and care. How can I not give the best gift to express my love to the people whom I cherish? That statement blew me away. And the thought and care and attention given in getting the gift reveals how much the recipients of the gift are highly regarded by the giver of the gift. Now, church, we have received a very valuable, very important gift from a very generous giver. And this gift that we've all received has come with a great price. Now, God gave each of us the best gift that we can ever have, and it came with a great price. In John 3:16, it reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish and have eternal life." He gave a very, very expensive gift, a very costly gift, which is his only Son. And now we are all recipients of eternal life because we believe in Jesus Christ. Now, I have had this privilege to be involved in a few weddings over the last few months. And one of the most precious moments for me to observe the wedding is the walking down the aisle of the father and his daughter to give the bride away to the husband. Every time I observe this walking down the aisle, I would just take especially attention to the dad. And usually I would see tears streaming down his cheek, and then it would be coupled with a smile and a warm grin in his face. So I asked a dad, as I was doing this one day, what did you feel when you were walking down the aisle with your daughter? He told me, "Pastor, very mixed emotions. Very, very mixed emotions. Walking down the aisle only takes about 10 to 15 seconds. But he says that from as I walked down, my daughter's life flashed throughout from the day she was a baby until now she's a grown woman, and I'm so proud of her. And for me to give her away is a very, very painful thing. It's a very costly thing for me as a father to give her away. And this means as well that she will not be living with me and my wife anymore." But then at the same time, he smiled at me and says, "But then, Gilbert, I'm now giving her away to become the woman or the wife that she can be, that she can best become." And in the same way, God the Father paid the price by giving his only Son. He knows the cost that his Son will die a very cruel death. But the result is, not only will he die, but he will rise again, and we will all have life and life everlasting. Now, Jesus himself also gave a very significant gift, so precious that only he could give because he decided to give it, to give his life. Now, we see in Philippians 2, verse 6 to 8, "As Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in an appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross." Now, picture this, church. for the King of Kings, who was the Son of God, to take on the very nature of a man. Now, what more a helpless baby as we celebrate Christmas? Is this something I cannot fathom? I cannot imagine. Why would the King of Kings, the Son of God, would do such a deed for all of us, to leave his father's side, and where in heaven he was worshipped, he was adored, and coming down to earth where he has experienced all sorts of pain, brokenness, and suffering? It's just something that I cannot imagine. But Jesus Christ chose to come down to earth, and in doing so, he gave his life. Him giving his life is such a precious gift that many of us should take a step back and reconsider Christmas. Why are we celebrating Christmas? In this season in time, we are so caught up by all the promotions of sales, online shopping malls, what we can buy as well. And we are all vying for our attention. But our attention must be focused solely on the reason for Christmas, which is Jesus Christ coming down on earth as a baby, when one day he will be put to death and he will rise again. And in doing so, we have life eternal. So we have seen God and Jesus giving us the very best gift that all of us can receive today. So we are reminded that we have a very precious gift in our hands or in our lives. Now, my question to you, church, those who are here and those of you who are online. Now, with this gift that we have received from God now, how then do we give our gift to God? And the big idea today is the best gift we can give to God is a life surrendered and wholly devoted to Him. Let me repeat again. The big idea today is the best gift we can give to God is a life surrendered and wholly devoted to Him. Now, we'll look at Matthew 2, verse 11, and I will hope to unpack this verse here to show what kind of gifts we're able to give back to God. Matthew 2, verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, day refers to Magi. Magi, or some of us know them as wise men. Magi comes from the east, the Bible says. Now, east, we do not know how far east. East of Bethlehem can mean in West Asia or the Middle East. It can also mean India, or also can mean the Far East. But what we know as this Magi are people who are learned. They are very, smart for simpler definition. And they are also highly regarded and advisors as well to the rulers of their land. So when these Magi make their way from the east to Bethlehem, they follow a star. Then they came to the manger where Jesus was born. And when they arrive, in Scripture, we see the first thing they did was to bow down. So friends, church, the very first gift we can give to God is the gift of total surrender. The first gift we can give to God is the gift of total surrender. In the NSAB version of Matthew 2:11, the word fell down. They fell down and worshipped Jesus. Now, bowing or falling down depicts the action of putting oneself lower to the other. And this was a posture of total surrender. Now, just imagine in your head, this Magi dressed in their expensive royal attire, right? Coming to a dingy, smelly manger, right? And I'm very sure they're not used to this kind of environment. But they entered into the manger. I don't know how many of them. Some say three or more. But let's say they all entered into this. They crammed themselves into this manger. And the first thing they did was what? They bowed down. bowed can be prostrating themselves, kneeling down as well, or kneeling the whole, kneeling themselves whole down, stomach flat onto on the stomach towards Jesus. Just imagine they are fully dressed, but they're doing this action to just to honor Jesus. But a baby, and friends, surrendering is actually a difficult thing to do. Difficult thing. But the Magi did it. But for us all as well, surrendering is to Jesus, to God, is a difficult thing to God. We know that we must surrender ourselves to God daily, yet we struggle to do so. Now in Philippians 2 verse 13, it reads, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." Now God does not ask you for the perfect surrender in your strength or by the power of your will. If you are willing, the key word here is if you are willing, God will work with you. So if you are willing, then come before God in surrender. Now, Pastor Terry, Pastor Benny, Pastor Adrian has emphasized the importance of coming before God daily. Coming before God daily means spending time with Him in reading of the Word, in meditation, and in prayer. Coming before God daily. And today, I want to re-emphasize that as well. Surrender is not a one-time thing where I say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. I surrender to you." Then that's it. It's a daily affair where we come before God to surrender. Now, God will make us willing even if our desire is feeble. He will do that. There's this story of this young man in his 30s. He grew up in a family, in a home where there were, he had no father. The father left his family when he was a child. And he was just sharing with me about his dad, how his experience as a son growing up in a fatherless home. As he was sharing to me, he began to cry and tear. And he had so much of anger towards his dad. But he knew that for him to move on and to grow, he had to reconcile with his father. He had to forgive his dad. But every time when he talked to dad, to his dad and tried to reconcile, they would end up arguing. And then he would be so angry, he would just slam the phone down, or he would just walk away. And he just says, "I cannot forgive my dad. But he told me, Pastor, but I want to forgive my dad so I can have healing and I can move forward." Reconciliation is difficult. Fortunately, we all know that God will help each of us if our desire is to reconcile. And likewise, this brother here says that, "Yes, I will make the effort. I will still trust God to help me to learn to forgive." And this is his journey of reconciling with his dad. And it's still not there yet, so will you just pray with me as we pray for this brother to reconcile with his father? And also, God will be gracious to you and I. And if you fear making some sacrifice that you think is too great, that will cost you so much, it come at a great cost. Now, God will never command you to give something that you cannot give. He will never. He will always be here to do what you think is impossible. And our God is the God of the impossible. And at the same time, God will also accept you wherever you are. If you're surrendering in a time when you feel you're imperfect, where you feel incomplete, even when you feel you are powerless, God will still accept you for who you are. Moving on to the next point, the next gift we can give is a gift of wholehearted worship. They bowed down and they worshipped him. To worship God is to behold the Lord, to truly see something of his glory and his greatness in the ultimate posture of worship. Seeing God act in creation and redemption, seeing his mighty displays of power and glory, hearing direct statements about his character and attributes stir one another to worship. Of course, there are other stimuli to worship, like what we did just now, we sing songs and we worship God with instruments as well. But worship finds its purest and most beautiful expressions when it flows from a heart occupied with the grandeur of God. Now, can I ask you this season in Advent, as we approach Christmas, as we have conversations with our loved ones and our friends, we will talk about all things about life. But can I ask us to have God conversations, to talk about who God is in your life, to talk about His majesty, to talk about His power, to talk about His personalness in your life, and begin just to share how God has been working in your life in 2021 as you prepare and you move forward to 2022. Have God conversations. Don't just talk about what you like doing. For me, right now, it's bicycles. I can talk about bicycles all day. But I've come to learn that I need to talk about God and what God is doing in my life. Also, worship is coming before Him with a heart of gratitude, a heart that is full of thanks. Thanking God for who He is in our lives, for His provision, His protection, for leading our lives and our loved ones, especially during this year where we experience so much of uncertainties of life. Now, whatever concerns and cares of life that you are experiencing even right now, take a step back. Take a step back to recount and recall all the blessings that God has bestowed upon you this year. When we begin to remember and recall of God's faithfulness, thereby we're able to be thankful. So Psalm 95 verse 2, it says, "Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song." Come before God with thanksgiving. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Before you ask God for something, thank Him first for who He is in your life. And my wife and I, as I shared this now, we celebrated 21 years of marriage, and we were having a conversation before she went to Japan about how did we both of us survive 21 years of marriage? How did we endure? Not endure, that's a bad word. How did we live and have a good marriage for 21 years? And my wife, being the wiser of the two of us, said, being thankful, being grateful. Wow, my wife is so wise. So why is it so true? As we begin to reflect back and look back, we've gone through ups and downs in our marriage, the good and the bad, more good than bad, fortunately. And there's so much to give thanks to God for. And by giving thanks, whatever negativity that we have endured pales in comparison, because God has been so good in our lives. So, church, those of you who are here and those of you who are online, be thankful, right? Worship comes first from a posture of thanksgiving. And the third gift that I want to share with you is the gift of our personal goal. And the wise men or the Magi brought before Jesus gifts of gold. Now, gold that the Magi brought to Jesus recognizes the royalty and kingship of Jesus Christ. Gold represents to us many things that are precious to us: our relationships, our substance, our wealth, things that we hold dear to, of value. Now, is there someone or something that's holding you back from acknowledging Christ as King over your life? Have we been so caught up in our personal goal, holding it so tightly, that we fail to realize that this goal pales in comparison to the royalty and majesty of Jesus Christ? Abraham offered Isaac his only son as a sacrifice to God when God commanded him to do so. Again, I cannot imagine what Abraham was feeling, his emotions, what he was thinking as well. And when he realized that he had to give Isaac up as a sacrifice, his beloved son, his personal goal per se, to be sacrificed as a lamb on the altar. In Genesis 22, Abraham obeys God and was ready to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice to God, but God stopped him from doing so and provided a ram. Now, church, again, what is this personal goal that you are clinging on to so tightly that takes away your full devotion to Jesus Christ? Will you be like Abraham today and offer your personal goal on the altar before the Lord? Will you acknowledge his kingship over your life again this Advent season? Will you surrender totally to him today? The fourth gift is the gift of our personal frankincense. The gift of frankincense are represented to in the days of Jesus, divinity and priesthood. Because why? When frankincense is burnt, as it becomes a fragrance, and sweet-smelling aroma will fill the entire room. So it was a very valuable substance during that time. And areas of our lives that can represent... What areas of our lives, our dreams, our ambitions, our decisions, our thoughts, our inner life desire, when put at the altar, will release a sweet-smelling incense before God when it's burnt? Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6 says that, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight." It reads, "Lean not on your own understanding." This, I find it very hard to do. This is confession time. I fail to do this so often. I always lean on my own understanding before trusting in God. My head says, trust in God. But my heart says, let's try your way first. Is this similar to you? Is this very familiar with you guys, with you? So I will say to the Lord, "Lord, I trust in you. I lead and direct my path. Lead me in this situation." But then my heart says, let's try the first option first, lah. Okay? And usually the results won't go my way, and I'm always in a stickier situation. And this is where I become so desperate. I say, God, I'm so sorry, Lord, for doing it my way. I am so foolish. Will you just forgive me? I want to trust you. I will trust you. I will submit to your ways. Will you help me? Help me. And thankfully, God has been faithful. But I've learned a lot of painful lessons down the road as well. So Proverbs says, commit your works, commit your desires, commit your ambitions, commit your plans, commit your thoughts to the Lord. And all your plans will succeed if you respond to his will and his guidance. This is from the Amplified Version in Proverbs 16, verse 3. So commit all your ways, all your feelings, all your desires, all your ambitions to God. And this is the promise of God. So I want to encourage us all even today that we commit our ways to the Lord today. Your plans for 2022 especially. We all have plans. We all have dreams for next year. Commit them to the Lord even right now. And the third gift that the Magi gave, and the last point is the gift of our personal myrrh. Now, myrrh was a valuable commodity in the days of Jesus as well. It was used for medicinal purposes as well as an embalming oil. Embalming oil meaning to embalm the bodies of those who have passed on. So the gift of myrrh to baby Jesus is pointing to his death, that he would have to endure for 3 days, but then he will rise up again from death. But during the time before his death and in his death, he had to endure all kinds of suffering and pain and suffer the wicked death on the cross. Now, what are some of our personal mirror that we have? Now, our personal mirror could be areas of our lives that are bruised, wounded, disappointed, broken, we are let down, or areas that remind us of our past failures, or maybe even a physical illness you're going through right now, as well as mental, emotional pain. This can be your personal mirror. Can you bring this mirror to God and offer it to God? Now, God does not despise, nor will he reject you for your brokenness or your failures. You offer your personal gifts of mirror to Jesus Christ. The invitation of Jesus is to you and I in Matthew 11, verse 28. It says, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy, come to me, all you are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest.'" And the invitation is, come to me, all of you who are weary, all of you who are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Now, as we draw to a close, there's a story I want to share with you, a story of a woman who was present at a dinner event. Now, trying not to draw attention to herself from the host and the guests, she made her way discreetly to the special guest who was present there. Now, unfortunately, as she made her way to the special guest, people began to take notice of her. And most people in the hall began to say and make derogatory remarks about her. Most were very offensive, very degrading towards this lady. Others would call her, "You are a sinner. You are a moral woman." She came before God. She came before Jesus, actually. This is the story of the woman in the alabaster jar. She approached Jesus. She knelt down. She took out an exquisite bottle, uncapped the bottle, and began to pour it at the feet of Jesus. Then she unbind her hair. Loosen the hair. Now, in those days, to loosen your hair is looked down upon on ladies. To loosen your hair means you are a loose woman. You are a very immoral woman. But she took her hair and she began to wiped the feet of Jesus with her tears and the perfume with her hair. This, to me, is a posture of total surrender and a picture of worship before God. Her gift that she gave, the gold that she gave was the perfume. It was her heirloom. Help her see through difficult times. The gift of her personal frankincense was her dignity. What little dignity she had is all gone. And the gift of her personal mirth was coming down to Jesus, being herself, while hearing everyone putting her down and calling her, "You are a prostitute, you are a moral woman. How can you be at the feet of Jesus?" So broken. So come, church. Come. My apologies. Church, this is a call for you and I to respond to God. He's speaking to you today. What is hindering you from surrendering your life to God? What is holding you back from encountering His love? God is tugging at your heart even today, asking you, come before Him with your personal goal of frankincense and your myrrh. Come before Him. And church, if you want prayer, come up here and someone will pray with you. And those online, will you click on the request prayer button, and the pastor and the prayer host will gladly pray with you. And for those who want to know more about this gift, I want this gift that you're talking about, this gift that God gave and Jesus paid such a high price, you can have this gift even today. And will you just say this prayer with me, a very simple prayer with three important words: sorry, thank you, and please. Will you pray with this prayer with me right now, wherever you are? God, I'm so sorry for all the wrongs I've done. I thank you for loving me and not letting my past define who I am. Please be my Lord and Savior. And may I live a life that is totally surrendered and wholly devoted to you from this day forward. Can I also just say a prayer for those of us who are desiring for encounter with God? Shall we pray? Holy Spirit, you are here with us even right now. You are speaking to us about things that are holding us back from fully encountering your love. So as you begin to reveal to us what is this personal goal, a personal frankincense on earth that we are holding on so tightly, may we be willing to let them go and surrender them to you today. Lord, you say if we are willing, you will help us. So today we are willing to let go. You give us the strength to let go. And may we continue to encounter your love in a very tangible way, especially in this Christmas season. And that this love will abound through our lives to be shared with others as well around us too. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this gift of life you've given us. We thank you so much. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. Amen.